Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, we can go hours, even days, without thinking about you. And even when we do remember you, there's enough distraction within and without us that we hear, then what we hear from you is often distorted, like the kids in the old Peanuts cartoon hearing any adult speak. Today, thank you for this time set aside to turn us toward you. Clarify your message to us in creation, in the scripture, through the human messengers and providence you send us, and especially by your spirit. And we continue to pray for your healing for Senator Paul Ankeny. I humbly ask in your name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll. Senator Sands is on live. Senator Wellborn.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Ankeny is excused.
Quorum is present. Senate is ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to our business. Number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are convening an agriculture, livestock, and irrigation report that Senate Bill 307 do pass, that Senate Bill 270 do pass as amended, and that Senate Joint Resolution 11 do pass. Senator Mike Lang. Mr. President, we are committed on energy and telecommunications report that Senate Bills 213 and 291 do pass, and that Senate Bill 87 and 292 do pass as amended. Senator Dwayne Ankeny, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on fish and game report that Senate Bills 267, 314, 327, 337, 354, and Senate Joint Resolution 18 do pass. Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are convening on highways and transportation report that Senate Bill 274 do pass, and that Senate Bill 300 do pass as amended. Senator Gordon Vance, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on judiciary report that Senate Bill 290 and 3838 do pass, and that Senate Bill 283 do pass as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on natural resource report that Senate Bill 302 do pass. Senator Jeffrey Wellborn, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to our business. Number four, messages from the Governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Friday, February 23, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 104, Wellborn. Senate Bill 68, Fitzpatrick. Senate Bill 66, Fitzpatrick. Senate Bill 41, Weber. Senate Bill 26, Gillespie. Senate Bill 27, Gillespie. Senate Bill 3, Small. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day read three several times and passed, titled and history agreed to, and the herewith transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House, that is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, House Joint Resolution 9, House bills have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. Senate Bill 139 has been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, members, before we go into order of business number seven, I just want to make sure everybody is aware. I spoke with our IT staff yesterday. You may have saw somebody. We had one person voting by proxy, but it doesn't necessarily show the number up there on the screen. We figured if it ain't broke, don't fix what we have working right now, because it'd be an entire programming change since we changed to allow proxies here instead of pairs right at the before the session started. So if we do have a close vote and you see it up there, the chairman of the day may need to look at this because it does show their vote. It just doesn't show the number up there. So just a heads up, just in case we have one of those votes coming up. Majority Leader Smith, order business number seven.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for a consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Hertz, chairman of the day.
The last bill.
Resolution to the bottom. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Senate Joint Resolution 9 to the bottom of the board for the day.
Without objection, so ordered. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 75. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
SR 75, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointment of the Director of the Department of Commerce made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 13, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 75. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Resolution Number 75.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the nomination by the governor for the director of the Department of Commerce. The governor has nominated Scott Osterman from Whitefish. Mr. Osterman currently works for Applied Materials in Kalispell, where he is responsible for managing their operations. He has extensive private sector experience. He's originally from north central Montana, worked out of state for many years, and returned back to work in Montana about 6 years ago. He's a great nominee, and I'd ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Senator Fitzpatrick, you'd like to close? Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick in which committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate resolution that it recommend the same be concurred in. As many of those are in favor will vote yes. Those who vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye, one senator voting nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and one senator voting no, Senate Resolution 75 has passed. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Joint Resolution Number 10. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SJR 10, introduced by Small, Ankeny, and Wellborn, a joint resolution of the Senate Clerk and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana urging Congress to appropriate funding under the Energy Act of 2020 for the development of carbon capture technology at the Colstrip Electric Generating Station in Rosebud County, Montana.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Joint Resolution 10. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution Number 10, that the same do pass.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chairman, as the good senator who's not here today generally calls these letters to Santa Claus, basically what we have going is Senate Joint Resolution 10 is kind of an ask to Congress. What we're trying to do is get Congress to bring CCUS technology to Montana so we can preserve jobs and save Montana's economy. So what is CCUS? Which is carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration. This is one of those things that both sides of the aisle can get on. It's technology that's come about in the previous years, and they've been working on it forever to help mitigate the amount of carbon going out into the air. Here in Montana, we have three primary things to gain by making this kind of a request. First, we keep the hardworking Montanans employed. Just in Colstrip alone, at the plant, there's about 250 jobs, primarily union. And during outages or when we rebuild the units, up to another 500 or so just in the plant itself. And there's always around 300 jobs at the Rosebud mine. We continue to provide inexpensive and reliable power, even during situations like we've had here in the past several weeks where all the other sources of energy go defunct and we're still able to operate. And then we also continue to benefit from excise and property taxes from the mine itself. And I know everybody's a big fan of the Coal Severance Trust Fund, so this could help keep that healthy also. And with that being said, I would urge it do pass. It deserves a green light. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the senator would like to close. The senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution Number 10 that it recommend the same do pass. As many of those are in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting by proxy, voting aye, 48 senators vote aye, 2 senators vote nay.
With 48 senators voting aye and 2 senators voting no, Senate Joint Resolution 10 has passed. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 192. Clerk, will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 192, introduced by Osmundson, a bill for an act entitled an act providing for transfers and budgetary matters and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 192. What is your pleasure, Senator Osmundson?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 192, recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Osmundson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is what you call a companion bill. This is simply a bill that we kick over to the House. They hang on to it. If there is a need for it in the end, they will amend something into it, and it would come back for our review. It is merely a title. The transfer in there is just so it has a placeholder. The body of the bill really is irrelevant. It's the title that we're kicking across to the other side. I actually think it will probably meet its fate over there, but it is certainly just there to have a placeholder. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the senator would like to close. The senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Osmundson. When this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 192, it recommends the same do pass. As many of those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record. Senator Bennett is gone. Clerk, record the vote.
With the Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye, 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting no, Senate Bill 192 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Joint Resolution 6. Clerk, read the title and the history of the bill.
SJR 6, introduced by Ellis, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana urging the federal government to simplify and reduce the cost of stream restoration projects while maintaining the safety of structures in floods.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Joint Resolution 6. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellis?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 6, recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
This resolution was brought to me by my local conservation district. And what it's asking is for Montana's conservation districts who want to be able to do small stream restoration projects to have a conversation with people in the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the National Flood Insurance Program, with decision makers that are high enough on the food chain that they can actually help resolve an issue. And I did want to point out on page 1, line 28, it says it encourages this conversation to have. This is the problem. To get these stream restoration projects done, the conservation districts need a floodplain permit. And the only way to get that floodplain permit is if they do an expensive engineering study. And not all of these projects need that. They don't feel need that expensive engineering study. And that study can cost more than the restoration project itself sometimes. So what we're trying to do is encourage a conversation with people that can actually make decisions, and they want to make their projects more affordable so more boots on the ground work gets done for stream restoration in the state of Montana. I want to make it clear that no one is asking Montana's floodplain administrators to break any laws. This is a conversation that would happen at the federal level with our conservation districts and the federal government. And if something is agreed upon, then I assume that Montana's floodplain administrators would implement that. But we're a long way from getting that far. Also, no one wants anyone to get permission to be able to flood homes or businesses. The only way these projects should be allowed to go forward without an engineering study if there is no increase in floodwaters. And as I mentioned before, no one knows if this effort will resolve this issue, but the conservation districts want a chance to see if they can work something out. With that, Mr. Chairman, I urge a due pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Aguirre.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I yield.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think it's a good resolution, but what will be done with it? Is it going to be sent to anyone?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, that is a great thought, and it should be sent to someone, and I most resolutions have that in them, don't they? I'm just realizing right this instant that it doesn't. I guarantee I will make that adjustment in if this passes to the House.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Lake, closing your bill.
I close, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellis that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 6 and recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record their vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 46 senators voting aye, 4 senators voting nay.
46 senators voting aye and 4 senators voting no. Senate Joint Resolution 6 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 249. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 249, introduced by Lang and Knudsen, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to Funding of the Montana Greater Sage-Grouse Stewardship Act, authorizing a cost-sharing agreement between the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, revising the amount of administrative fees that may be paid from the Sage-Grouse Stewardship Account, recodifying the Montana Greater Sage-Grouse Stewardship Act in Title 87, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 249. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 249, that I recommend do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The title of the bill talks about the sage grouse, and that's really...
House will be in order here.
Okay.
Senator Lang.
I'm sorry that went so long. I didn't know how to shut it off. All right, the title of the bill talks about this 249. We're making no changes to the purpose, overall purpose of the sage-grouse bill. That is to protect the birds and do that through mitigation. That was established in the 2015 legislature. It authorizes Montana FWP to get into a contract with DNRC, and then we will be using Pittman Robbins money across through there. You'll see the $400,000 was reduced to $25,000. That's to do for the administrative cost of having meetings. Originally, the $400,000 was part of the original $10 million that this legislature gave to that account. So we're doing a little different funding. And the fourth thing will be there'll be a cost-sharing agreement between the Fish and Game and the DNRC. The response for the program will still stay in the DNRC, where it's done very well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Senator Lang, would you like to fly away?
Thank you very much. I close, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 249 that it recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and one senator voting nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and one senator voting no, Senate Bill 249 has passed second reading. Who's doing it? Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 258. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 258, introduced by Ankeny, a bill for an act entitled an act renaming the Treasure State Endowment Program and Fund to the Montana Coal Endowment Program and Fund and amending sections.
Are there corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1 through 8.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 258. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 258, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chairman, this is probably the simplest bill we'll have all session, and if you read the title, that's exactly what it does. Renaming the Treasure State Endowment Program and Fund to the Montana Coal Endowment Program and Fund. And then the rest of the bill, other than that title, is just rewriting the words in it to match. So it's pretty simple. Give her a green light. Bye.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Small, would you like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 258 to recommend the same do pass. Any of those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does every member wish to change his or her vote? Not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye and zero senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and zero senators voting no, Senate Bill 258 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 260. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 260, introduced by Fitzpatrick, Blaisdell, Ellsworth, and Small, a bill for an act entitled Act generally revising laws relating to property interest, identifying things in which property interests exist, including goodwill and going concern value of a business, license to pursue a business or livelihood, real property and fixtures, personal property and appurtenances, water rights and intangible property, providing that identified property interests are protected private property interests, providing exceptions, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 260. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 260, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, it's kind of got a long title, but what this bill is about, it's about protecting private property interests from government takings. And the bill does a couple things. The first thing it does, if you look in Section 1, is it identifies additional types of property that would be protected as property under the statute. And second, which is really the most important part of the bill, in Subsection 2A, it states that if you own a protectable private property interest and there is a loss of value of 25% or more of that property because of a government regulation, something what we would call a regulatory taking, that is a compensable interest under the law. And the reason for this bill is very simple. As our regulatory state has gotten bigger, more complex, it has had tremendous effect on people's businesses. And the fact of the matter is, under U.S. Supreme Court case law, which has been adopted by the Montana Supreme Court, if you have a regulatory taking, you basically cannot assert a claim unless the property is 100% worthless. And we've had all kinds of situations in the last 10 to 15 years where people have lost value in their business. So the classic example is the one where we took away all the game farms, and the people that had game farms, they were not compensated for the loss of their business. This just simply ensures that we have a check and a balance on our government so that government doesn't destroy the value of business. And we saw it during the COVID pandemic here. I mean, how many people's businesses have been run into the ground because of government regulation? It's immense. I mean, I don't think we realized how powerful government can be until this last year. So this is a bill. It's about protecting private property. It's ensuring that our regulations don't get out of control. and that if government does affect our private property values, you can be compensated. And candidly, I think at 25%, that really is a generous limit. So it's not like we're affecting the ability of government to regulate. We're just saying it can't be over the top. So with that, I do have an amendment, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment SB 02600002001 and request to be posted and deemed read.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a technical amendment. As we were putting the bill together, it was not our intent to cover businesses that sell marijuana products, manufacture marijuana products. That's illegal under federal law, and we did not want to extend the protections of the bill. So this is just a simple technical amendment, and I'd ask for your support on this.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? On the amendment. Senator McGilvery, are you on the amendment or on the bill? Okay. Seeing no further discussion, the senator would like to close. The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Fitzpatrick that Senate Bill 260 be amended. As many of those are in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will record the vote.
Well, we're going from zero.
With Senator Agnew voting by proxy, 34 senators vote aye, 15 senators vote nay.
34 senators voting aye and 15 senators voting no. The amendment passes. Is there any discussion on the bill as amended? Senator Boland. Senator Boland.
Oh, thank you. I didn't hear you call my name. Sorry. Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the body, Senate Bill 260 was amended in committee and addressed some of the issues and concerns that the opponents had. But there are still issues with this bill. Senate Bill 260 would force the state to compensate property owners whenever a regulation or a law devalues by 25%. Some of the compensable items include stock, property, bonds, business brands, credit, intellectual properties, perceived financial stability of a company, personal property, water rights, licenses, and a host of other types of properties. The bill will result in endless lawsuits against the state of Montana, financially devastate the state, and result in the elimination of many regulations. Senate Bill 260 requires compensation regardless of the need of the regulation or law to protect the public health, safety, welfare, or neighboring property owners or the state's interest. A similar proposal that failed in 2013 had an exemption for state laws and regulations if they were necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare. It was projected to cost the state $600 million over a six-year period, and that bill only had the 10% compensation threshold, and it only applied to real properties, a far narrower application than this. When Oregon passed a similar law by initiative, it faced almost 7,000 claims totaling $20 billion. Voters repealed that initiative 3 years later. Even a small fraction of that amount would be devastating to Montana. Members, I would urge a do not pass on Senate Bill 260. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman and members of the body, I also oppose this bill. And I think of this bill, I want to paint a picture, I guess, of the kinds of things that the government does. I think it's hard to sort of get an impression of what the impact of this bill is until you know sort of on the ground what kinds of things we do to protect public health, safety, and welfare, as well as neighboring property owners. For example, we've done a lot on exotic species regulations recently. What happens if a quagga mussel is found in a water body? And that shuts down tourism for that area. We have commercial fishing regulations, and our rivers, sometimes when they get too low, they get hoot owl regulations. What about those? We have floodplain designations, water quality protections. We mitigate requirements for gravel pits. We also have licenses that are involved in this, and we provide license. What happens if a license for a medical provider or a daycare or a healthcare facility gets revoked? In addition, you probably know we do road projects, and that can impact businesses too. We also have things like quarantine and pest management procedures, like our brucellosis restrictions that happen, and on and on. I think this bill is a budget buster, and I would ask also for a do not pass.
Senator McGillivray.
Questions for the sponsor?
The sponsor yield.
Yes.
Senator Fitzpatrick, I just want to clarify, this only applies if there's a taking from a Montana state government entity, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator McGillivray, correct. This affects government action. I think the key words are here on be lines 12 and 13 on page 2. Damaged or taken for a public use by means of eminent domain or a regulatory taking.
Thank you, Senator. This is a great bill. Government needs to have a strong, strong warning shot across the bow, whatever you want to call it, that if they start taking private property, then they're going to have to compensate for it. We just cannot have the state of Montana or any other government entity, from my perspective, taking what is the hard-earned property, sweat equity, life savings of individual property owners in the state of Montana. This is one of the best bills I've seen this session, and I support a green light on it.
Seeing no further discussion, does the senator like to close?
I will. Senator McGillivray, I thought I almost gave a better closing than I could give, but like I said, this is about protecting private property interests, and the key here I want to emphasize again is this is property that's been damaged or taken for a public use by a regulatory taking, and if you'll read, we have other exceptions. So some of the random things that I heard on the floor, it's not. This is about regulation, clamping down on people's businesses, destroying the licenses. I mean, these are all things you buy. A license is a piece of property. A water right is a piece of property. It's no different than a desk or a chair. It's something you own. It's something that has value. And if those things are going to be affected by government regulation, then they should be compensated for it. This is a great bill. I hope you'd support it.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 260 that I recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 31 senators voting aye, 19 senators voting nay.
With 31 senators voting aye and 19 senators voting no, Senate Bill 260 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 265. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 265, introduced by Fitzpatrick, Ankey, and Small, a bill for an act entitled Act requiring venues for arbitration in electrical generation disputes that occur within Montana, providing standards for arbitration panels in electrical generation disputes, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 265. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 265, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a bill which sets forth procedures for arbitration disputes involving electrical generation facilities. And what it does, very simply, is it says if you are going to arbitrate a claim for anything related to an electrical generation facility, it's got to be done in the state of Montana, and it's got to be done before a panel of three arbitrators. And it's very simple. If we have facilities such as the Colstrip facility or any other coal fire-burning generation plant, any other type of electrical generation plant in the state of Montana, that litigation should occur here. This is where we have the interests of our state, It shouldn't be done in another jurisdiction like Washington or Oregon or Kansas or wherever. It should be done in Montana, and it should be done before a panel of three. That way, you get a fairer shake. You get three people looking at the issue instead of one. And this is an important bill because right now we've got the Colstrip Generation Plant. There's disputes over it, and the out-of-state West Coast owners are trying to shut it down, and they're trying to use all the means necessary to do that. So this just ensures we get a fair resolution for all the people involved. So I'd ask for your support of this bill.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pope, any discussion? Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair, may I speak to the bill?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, committee, with all due respect to the good sponsor, this bill would, by what feels like legislative fiat, force terms and conditions retroactively into an existing contract, the owner and operation agreement in Colstrip, which has been a comprehensive partnership in agreement that's worked with those six owners and continues to work after 40 years. And yes, that agreement will be tested in the coming months and years, but it's working today. And that's why partnerships have agreements. And we shouldn't be, as a state legislature, messing with this particular contract. Senate Bill 265 is ill-advised. It overrides protections for free markets to create investment partnerships in our state, which I do believe we all would agree is a pillar of the governor's economic plan. I urge the body to vote no on 265. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Molnar.
Mr. Chairman, is the sponsor yield?
Sponsor yield to a question.
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Fitzpatrick, I read the owner's agreement several times. Why would this be necessary? It seems to me that they have votes and everything's all set up and timetables for handling disputes. Why is this necessary?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, it's necessary because if I understand the owner's agreement, the arbitrator is picked by a judge in Washington State, and the arbitration has to occur in Washington State. This bill makes sure that the arbitration occurs in Montana, not before one arbitrator, but before three.
Further question?
Sponsor, continue to yield.
Yes.
Who asked for Senate Bill 265 to be brought forward? If it wasn't you, did somebody come to you and say, please carry this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, this is a product of discussions I've had with many people over the years, or not over the years, over the last few months, those called the Senators Small, Senator Ankeny.
So, for further question.
Sponsor, continue to yield.
Yes.
Under Article 2, Section 31 of the Montana Constitution, the legislature may not ex post facto nullify a contract or amend a contract. How is this not in violation of that, where it will be struck down by the law, by a court, almost immediately?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, good question. Ex post facto laws only apply to criminal and not civil. So this is civil, so that's the answer to your question. With regard to the impairment of contracts, let me pull it out. I actually have a short little memo that I can read to you where we examined it. Basically, when you look at whether a contract is impaired, there's a three-part test, and based upon the analysis of that test, I can just give it to you if you want to look at it, Senator Molnar, while we wait here. We don't believe it impairs contracts because the industry is heavily regulated. Northwestern Energy and others provide basic necessities to the public at large. The law is narrowly tailored. And ultimately, this doesn't affect the ability to arbitrate. It only changes the statute. So if you want, I can hand this to you and you can read it.
So this is changing a statute and not part of the contract?
It doesn't change the basic principle of the contract. The basic principle of the contract is you can arbitrate, and we're allowing people to arbitrate. We're just changing the format of the arbitration. And I got to tell you, there is statute already in place. This legislature has passed it. We passed one in, I believe, 2009 that affects arbitration clauses. That's called the Fair Arbitration Act. That was passed in 2009. So this body has in the past arbitrated or has passed statutes that deal with arbitration provisions. And again, if you'd like, I have this memo if you'd like to read it.
For clarification.
Senator Molnar, through the chair, please.
Yeah, I was about to say for clarification, Mr. Chairman, Your Honorableness, do you yield?
Yes.
Okay, if you could explain this back to me, Article 2, Section 31, Montana Constitution says that we cannot ex post facto go into contracts. The legislature can't. Courts can. Everybody else can. We can't. Explain to me again why that doesn't apply to this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, the legislature can pass bills that affect contracts, and we do it all the time. In fact, there's been a lot of bills this session that affect contracts. It has to substantially impair the contract. It's just not a tweak or alteration of a contract. So if you'd like, I have the memo here. You can read it, and you can read about arbitration law. I have it right here, and I'll give it to you so you can read it during the break.
If you'd have the picture version, I'd
Senator
appreciate
Molnar,
it. Mr.
Through the
Chairman,
chair, please.
I'm going to address the bill.
Yes.
I hope this passes. However, I can't vote for it. I believe that the strict construction of Article 2, Section 31, plainly says we cannot do it. To say we do it all the time is not a defense. I hope it passes. I hope everybody gets their way on this. And I hope it's not struck down by the courts. But as a strict constructionist, I cannot support this.
Seeing no further discussion, the sponsor is closed. Sponsor has closed. Lost my place. Members, the question now arises on Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 265, that it recommend the same do pass. As many of those are in favor will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Wellborn, Senator Ellsworth. Clerk, record the vote.
With Senator Agnew voting aye by proxy, we have 33 senators voting aye and 17 senators voting nay.
With 33 senators voting aye and 17 voting no, Senate Bill 265 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 266. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 266, introduced by Fitzpatrick and Ellsworth, a bill for enacting title authorizing unfair or deceptive acts or practices in the conduct of trade or commerce to include certain actions related to the operation and maintenance of an electrical generation facility, providing the Department of Justice with the authority to take action in response to certain acts, providing definitions, and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Are there corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 266. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 266, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another bill on the same vein. What this does is it says that if you own a electric generation facility, all of the owners must consent before the facility must consent to the maintenance plan, and if they do not consent, they can be subject to penalties brought by the Attorney General's office. The reason for this is because right now at the Colstrip facility, the West Coast owners are refusing to fund the maintenance of this facility, and they are doing it in a way that is going to ultimately result in the closure as early as 2025. If that happens, I think we all know there's serious problems for the state of Montana. We're not going to have enough electricity to run our schools and businesses and homes. We're going to lose out on the tax revenue. We're going to lose out on the jobs. This is an important bill. That facility needs to be maintained. And quite frankly, I think it's wrong for the West Coast owners to use this as a weapon to close down the facility and not comply with their contractual obligations to keep the facility maintained and keep the workers in the place safe. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion? Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill.
Please.
Mr. Chair and body, my apologies for standing twice, but these are pretty sister bills. And so I want to, with all, again, all due respect to the sponsor, this might seem like a policy bill to address unfair and deceptive acts, which we would all support, generally speaking. But if it weren't so explicit in its attempt to break into and to modify a specific singular set of partnership agreements, namely the owner and operation agreements that have been the cornerstone of the business framework and the success at Colstrip of the six large corporation owners at the generation plant for literally 40 years, for decades. Senate Bill 266 targets Colstrip owners with the precision of a military spec. This is the path we should not be going down. It's unfair. It's coercive. It will cost all the parties, we're told in hearing, and potentially taxpayers, tons of money, legal fees. And it trespasses on a fundamental set of Montana core values of due process, free markets, and curbing government overreach and regulation. We're right here. We're doing it. This bill, if passed, would send a very corrosive signal to potential businesses that may want to locate or relocate in the Treasure State. Montana state government, we're telling them, is going to find a way to get into your private affairs. But instead today, send a signal that Montana does not roll this way, that we're business-friendly, that we're law-abiding, and that our contracts in this state are worth something. Thank you for the time, Mr. Chair. Please vote no on SB 266.
See no further discussion. The senator wishes to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is really, it's about pushing back against the West Coast regulators who are pushing the companies to close the plant. I mean, this is all about environmental politics, using the power of state regulation in Washington and Oregon to shut down Colstrip. That's what this is about. So we need to push back. This is about one of the few tools we need to push back, assert our sovereignty. I mean, if we did the reverse, if they had a facility and we tried to close it down in their state, I think they would rightfully be upset at us. So we need to stand up. We need to push back against the Washington and Oregon regulators who are hurting Montana. So I'd ask you to support the bill.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 266, we recommend the same do pass. Any of those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye via proxy, we have 34 senators voting aye and 16 senators voting nay. 34 aye, 16 nay.
With 34 senators voting aye and 16 voting no, Senate Bill 266 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 230. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 230, introduced by Lang, Coffin, Knudsen, a bill for an act entitled transferring a percentage of compensatory mitigation deposits from the sage-grouse stewardship account to the state general fund to repay the initial cost of implementing the Montana Greater Sage-Grouse Stewardship Act, establishing a transfer limit amending section, and providing an immediate effective date and a contingent termination date.
Are there corrections or history to the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 230. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 230 and recommend same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Bodies of the Senate, I bring you another bill about the bird, but this is about the money. In 2015, when we created this program to protect the bird in Montana, we gave $10 million out of the general fund to promote that project. The project has done very well. The bird populations are up. We're getting land set aside to enhance the habitat of the bird. And I wish to, if you look on the two, all the words through there are what the stewardship account is. What this works is you have a stewardship account, someone has a project, they pay mitigation to the project, the money goes into the stewardship account and is used by the MSCOT Sage Grouse team. I wish to put 10% of those monies that come to the stewardship account and return them back to the general fund. And if you look on the bottom of the fiscal note on page 2, it says it will take well over 100 years to repay the original $10 million. So 10% at a time is not much, but it is something. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, the senator would like to close. The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 230, recommend the same do pass. As many of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Agnew voting aye by proxy, we have 50 senators voting aye, 0 senators voting nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting no, Senate Bill 230 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 247. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 247, introduced by Boldman and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising alcohol laws relating to universities and post-secondary institutions, allowing a unit of the Montana University System or a post-secondary institution in Montana to contract with an alcohol licensee to serve alcohol at a sporting event held on university property, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 247. What is your pleasure, Senator Boldman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 247, that it recommends the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Boldman.
Okay. This is my first bill in the Senate. Okay. So, I've shared with you my first day here that during the time of COVID this last summer, my husband and I bought a fraternity house, and we've been remodeling that to the residential home, and later, when we're not on the floor, I'll share with you some of the things the boys left behind. But the reason I'm telling you that is because the two bills you hear today involve something that I love and my family loves very much, and that's university athletics. And so I guess two bills that don't involve partisan politics, but I think involve something much more divisive. And of course, that's college sports in Montana. So two things. I've worked really hard with both these bills to have a lot of bipartisan support. And when you're in the minority, and you're in the minority from Missoula, it's a double negative. So please, I've worked really hard. And the second thing is, I've worked hard with our private industries. This bill that you're going to hear today has the support of all three legs of the stool, and if you know anything about our liquor laws, that's an act of God. It has the support of the tavern owners, the distributors, and our microbreweries, as well as an array of athletic directors around the state. This bill had no opposition in hearing. So, what does Senate Bill 247 really do? It's very simple. All Senate Bill 247 has created a revenue share for our universities and colleges so that they can sell beer at all athletic events in a partnership with our existing license holders. So this is the folks that already have a license with the Department of Revenue to serve beer, and they have a more specific endorsement called a catering endorsement. This means that their servers are trained to serve at these large events. A couple things. You can already buy beer at our university events. For example, I went to Pearl Jam or Paul McCartney, and I had a beer or two in our university football stadium. We also already serve beer in some of our university athletic events. So for example, if you've sat in box seats or the president's box, you can already. So we're already doing this. What the tavern owners will tell you the magic of the bill is, the magic is that this creates a revenue share at athletic events, not just for University of Montana and for Montana State, but for our Frontier Conference and for our tribal colleges. So, yes, this will involve MSU and University of Montana, but it'll also involve Montana State Northern and Havard, Montana Tech, the Diggers in Butte, Carroll College, the Fighting Saints, Montana Western and Dillon, the Bulldogs, Providence and Great Falls, Rocky Mountain College, and our tribal colleges. A couple other things for your constituents back home. This is permissive legislation, and as you all know, that means that if the universities want to use this and they have the capacity to do it at their sporting events, they can, and if they don't want to, they don't have to. I will state again, no one opposed the bill, not even the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education. A few other things I'd like to share with you. The NCAA changed their stance on serving alcohol at athletic events just a few years ago, and since then, the dominoes around the nation have fallen. Nearly half of all football stadiums, for example, now serve beer. At Ohio State, it was $1.2 million last fall in beer sales. Nearly half the college football teams do, and we're talking folks around us, Wyoming, Nevada, Colorado. We're not reinventing the wheel here. The other thing is that this actually does one other great thing for our students and for young people, and it actually curbs binge drinking. They call that the prohibition effect. Nearly every university has studies. West Virginia, for example, said that they saw binge drinking go down 38% in their games. And that's, of course, because you don't have to binge drink before the game in halftime. And as many of you know, folks are doing plenty of that. And so with that, the only thing I wanted you to do is take a look at the fiscal note. So as somebody from the minority, I worked together on both sides to make sure that I brought you a piece of legislation that makes this state money. And so our colleges get to benefit. But I'm going to just point out one little thing to Ochi that kind of bothered me about this fiscal note, and that's on line 12. So they gave you fiscal notes for positive numbers for just men's football and men's basketball at the University of Montana MSU. And I think that they'd probably serve beer at women's games and women's soccer, as well as our frontier colleges, too. So I actually think this bill would make more money. And so with that, thank you very much. I think this is a great moment in Montana history. February 26th, in one day, we brought Bobcats and Grizzlies together. Thank you.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion by a Bobcat or a Grizzly? Well, that woke a few up. Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor.
Will the sponsor yield?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the good senator from Ravalli County.
Mr. Chair, Senator, just wondering, will White Claw be served or not?
I would like to defer to my friend on the other side of the aisle, but I would say, yeah.
Oh! With that, I would give it green lights, Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators, this is an anti-tailgate bill. It's going to do away with tailgate parties. If you've been at Grizz games, football games, I mean, they clear out before halftime, and they don't come back till the end of the third quarter. They're all going to stay in the stadium now. In all seriousness, I've been to Major League Baseball games from Kansas City to Arizona, Seattle. They sell alcohol there, and there's a lot of fans that aren't pretty. I mean, they get blitzed, and I wonder why they can't wait till after the game to celebrate, but they celebrate ahead of time during the game. Fights can break out. I don't think a Cat Grizz game is going to be a very safe thing to go to if booze is sold here, so I would encourage a red light.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I had concern expressed to me out in the hall today that they're not going to be selling raw milk. Is that, would the sponsor yield to a question about that?
Senator, please stick to the bill. Stick to the bill. We have bills coming to discuss that later. Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Chairman. I think I have to be a little more serious with the situation. After looking at the fiscal note, I believe as a alumni of Montana Tech, I think we would probably double or if not triple the amount of revenue will come in to the state. And I have to say that every time the Grizz and Cat play, it is very awkward. Knowing that my sister-in-law is a Grizz fan and my wife is a Cats fan. That being said, go War Diggers.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Baldwin, would you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Baldwin that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 247, it's recommended that the same do pass. As many of those are in favor will signify by voting yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Agnew voting aye by proxy, we have 41 senators voting aye and 9 senators voting nay.
With 41 senators voting aye and 9 senators voting no, Senate Bill 247 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 248. Clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 248, introduced by Boldman and others, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing student-athlete rights and protections, ensuring that a student-athlete can earn compensation for the use of the student-athlete's name, image, or likeness, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
Delayed effective date.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 248. What is your pleasure, Senator Boldman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 248, that it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Boldman.
Okay. Members of the body, this is another bill involving university athletics, a little bit more specific. And a little bit more, I hope, fun, educational, with a legal twist. This bill, I'm going to refer you in a few minutes in my remarks. This bill has passed nearly unanimously in a myriad of other states. And so there was a little confusion during executive action. And I think we've cleared that up through an amendment brought by my favorite lawyer across the aisle there. From Great Falls, and so he can clear that up a little bit, but this is simply a bipartisan proposal to permit any Montana University athlete in the NCAA to receive compensation for what's called their NIL. So I'm going to use that phrase a lot. NIL in the law means it stands for their name, their image, and their likeness. So that does not mean that we're permitting colleges to pay athletes. That's not what this bill is about. So just 2 seconds of background. Well, 40 seconds. Since the NCAA has been around since 1906, and they have always, we've always sort of grown up knowing that they prohibit our student athletes from promoting or endorsing any commercial product or service. They're not allowed to get paid to play. But they are allowed to get paid for their NIL, and that's through a series of case laws that I'm going to explain. College athletics, of course, of late have changed, and they've changed big time. I think we all in this room acknowledge that. In 2019, the NCAA Men's Division I basketball tournament alone made $1.12 billion in revenue. In 2018, Division I football earned revenues totaling $8.7 billion. College athletics is no longer all just about amateurism, and we all know this. This is now a multi-billion dollar industry, and everyone involved, including the coaches and the universities, make money off of these kids. So, we acknowledge, of course, in this room that student athletes deserve and they should receive some value for their scholarships. They receive room and board and health case and a stage to showcase their performance. However, the fact that they can't make money off their private selves, who they are, their NIL, their name, that's outdated and it's archaic and it's wrong. So, this bill is ultimately about fairness. And I want you to think about fairness in the sense of other kids in the college and the university. So, if you are a non-athlete at a university, even if you're on scholarship, you can profit from your NIL. You can be a literature major and sell a book in the summer. You can be a chemist and sell a patent. But if you're a student athlete, you can't earn money from your NIL, and that's not fair. So, I want to give you an idea of what kind of things that means. That means players can negotiate deals to do summer camps for kids, just using their name to promote the camps. Trading cards, their autograph, clothing makers, social media is a big one, particularly with women's athletics and perhaps some of the smaller, like TikTok. Some of you look like you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I barely know what it is. This is really critical, of course, in all levels of athletics and women's athletics, but particularly in a state like Montana, where so many of our student athletes may not have the opportunity to play professionally and have that platform. So, now is my sheet. I put this on your desk. I want you to see what's really happened here nationally and why I brought this bill today. Over the last several years, six states have passed nearly identical laws to this, allowing the students in their state to benefit from NIL. So if you know anything about college recruiting, that means their states probably have a better shot at recruiting college athletes than the states that don't have the opportunity to benefit from NIL. But the biggest thing, right, is that two of those states are California and Florida. Now, they smartly put delayed effective dates on those, urging the NCAA to act. Well, the NCAA hasn't acted. But they, as of 3 months ago, voted that they would act this year and let all students benefit from NIL. But they haven't acted yet, and it's February. But here's the crux. I'm trying to remember what state. Florida. Florida's delayed effective date so that students that go to schools in Florida benefit from NIL is July 1st. So that's why you have the chart. In the last 60 days, 35 states, and we're not even on here, so add us, have introduced this identical bill to urge the NCAA to act or to urge Congress to act. And Congress introduced a bill on Tuesday with, in all things that you know I love, total bipartisan support. The bill is sponsored by Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican from Florida, and Senator Cory Booker, from Democrat from New Jersey. So again, I think this is a very bipartisan issue that we can all get behind. I love college sports. I love it. But this industry makes $15 billion a year, and some of these kids can't even afford for their parents to come watch a game. So I'm going to read you a little message I got. I got lots from student athletes all around the state. This is from a mom. My daughter, Patricia, who is a golfer at the University of Montana, was just denied the opportunity to profit from her name through a program on TikTok. You never know she was a Grizz golfer from her feed, but she could make a little money from this TikTok creator fund. We appreciate your opportunity. The status quo is not fair. Let's do it for these athletes. So with that, I think there's some people that might stand up for me, but thank you very much. Go Green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Senator Bogner.
Mr. Chairman, will the sponsor yield?
The sponsor yield to a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator.
This is a great bill. Why so long before it becomes effective?
So if I may, Mr. Chair, Senator, so I have an aggressive streak, clearly like you do, in encouraging the NCAA to act, but I was really trying to work with the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education in a delayed effective date, so that which does mirror some of the other states, because I was really trying to earn their support. And perhaps the good senator from Great Falls can address that, because I think that might have been a part of an amendment he put on that I totally support.
Thank you.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to speak to the bill. I heard this bill in committee, and it kind of struck a point to me that I'm kind of a business guy at heart, and so I'm a young man. I'm 18 years old. I'm looking at universities and realizing that you're only got this physique and this purse, you know, this actual physical ability for so long before you lose it. As you can tell, I looked in the mirror the other day and I lost it a long time ago. So what am I saying here? I'm a young man. I'm in a university. I'm being offered, maybe it's the Grizz, maybe it's UCLA, maybe it's USC, whatever. I'm going to look at myself as, what can I do to market myself to make the most money? That's what I'm about, making money. So what university is going to give me a chance to make money off my name? And that's where I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the USC. I'm going to go to USC and I'm going to play that game, because you just never know what could happen. You could blow a knee out. You could, you know, football's a rough game. Or it could be volleyball, or it could be basketball. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to go to the university that pays the most. And I'll be honest, that's just how I would think. So with the opportunity to keep the NIL and utilize that to make a little extra money and put something away for paying off my college debt, whatever it be, I'm going to go that route. So I think it's a good bill. Let's support this and push green.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't know if many of you know that I went to University of Montana, Montana Tech. I played football there as an athlete. Go Ortigers again. Granted, I've toyed with this idea over the last 5 or 6 years, and you know, I kind of come to the conclusion that we talk about internships, and I looked at this more as an internship to the bigger game. You know, ultimately, when I was an 18-year-old, I aspired to play for the NFL. Some things happened to me, and that changed the direction of my life. But I looked at it as an internship. But then I also looked at it as there's also paid internships, and I kind of look at this as well as that. I'm going, you know, this is somebody's ability to showcase their abilities to the grander state the scheme of things. But I also look at it as well as that we also talk about people that are musicians, and artists and things like that. They get paid for their work, their likenesses and things like that. And I believe that this would help encourage people to get paid for what their work, the sweat of their brow. And so I look at this going, you know, I can see where they're coming from, because I don't know how many of you fine senators have ever played sports, have ever had a situation where everything's going well until you get hit by a car or hit by a fat lineman like myself and gets their knee blown out. That's the game. That's it. That's over. So then you go out and do what you think. I think that this gives the opportunity for an individual that if, you know, if someone's willing to pay them, I mean, granted, I would never be on any of the video games. You'd never see my mug on one of those things, because I did play for Montana Tech. And but I think it does allow for them to get compensated for their likeness. And I think that if we can honestly sit down and say, hey, if musicians can do it, if artists can do it, why can't these young athletes? I mean, they are over the age of 18, and I believe they have the ability to make contracts. So I'd hope that you vote green on this. Thanks.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to vote for this bill because I believe it's a thing we're going to have to do just to keep up. But, you know, what I really believe is going to happen is that when we start looking at this, our focus as an athlete is going to be on more on the package that we can get, our meal package that we can get, not focused on the education that we're going to get while we're there. I believe that's what we should be focusing on, is the education we're going to get. And it's going to be hard for Montana. We are a very rural state when it comes right down to it. It's going to be hard for Montana to compete with Florida, California, in those mill packages. There's just simply not as much money here. And so, you know, with that, I believe it's a thing, we have to do, but that's just the other way to look at it I believe we might be moving in a direction that's not really going to be beneficial for our kids.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We heard this bill in committee. A little background, too. I don't know if many of you know this. My wife was a volleyball player at MSU, so when I asked her about this bill, she told me it was 25 years late. But in all due seriously, I think Senator Brown raised a good question, and we tried in committee to find kind of a middle ground. So if you look at the amendments, you know, I think one of the things I was worried about was, are we going to be able to have team posters? Are we going to be able to, you know, promote the team, keep that team atmosphere? So we included that as an amendment in A. The other thing we were concerned about, obviously, is, school athletic programs, many times they don't make money, and they're you know, the football team and the men's basketball team and the women's basketball teams tend to fund everything else. So we wanted to make sure that the athletic department would still be able to advertise and make money. So that's section B. And then C, obviously, just a convenience, I think, for everybody. They could manage the contract. Candidly, on one hand, I think this could have some downsides, but on the other hand, you know, your name, your image, your likeness, that really is a property, right? It's something you own, and to have that restricted, I think, is really unfair. So, I mean, I think this is one of these bills that has good and bad. Hopefully we're doing the right thing with this bill. I think we put on an amendment that makes it fair. I'm gonna support it. I think we're going in that direction, and I think this is a good compromise to get us where we're going with the law. So I'd appreciate a green light on this one.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too want to support the bill. I think the amendments on there are great. And I think we will find on this is there will be people that think out of the box, how to market themselves a little bit. But I would almost
be assured that we'll probably see more volunteerism like we always have from these athletes in their local towns, in their local communities. I had a nephew, our brother, that played the Big Sky, was on a lot of stuff. Probably, you know, he wouldn't want that. In fact, his two sons are going to go play for the Grizzly next year. And he didn't really know if he wanted to do this, Bill. I says, Ken, an athlete has great dedication. And that's what most of us here at this legislature, we know without organizing ourselves and being dedicated, we wouldn't get nothing done. And that's what the athleticism does to you or any project you do that I've got things I got to do every day and this is where I'm going. I had another nephew that played in the Big Sky. I went to Senator Hindbaugh's territory every year. Brought in North Dakota kids and Montana kids into a football camp. And the only way they supported that football camp was one of their friends had went on to play in the NFL, and so he forked the money for all that. And the community of Ekalaka got very behind it. So there's a lot of volunteerism. I think if they can be business-minded and then, like Senator Gauthier said, step out of the box and promote yourself a good work. Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing the bill.
Senator Temple.
Mr. Chair, committee. My grandson's going to Bozeman. I appreciate the bill. He's playing football down there. And what I can do for $5 if any of you want, if we get this bill passed, I'll get you all a pitcher and vote green.
Seeing no further discussion from the R side of the aisle, would the senator like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Baldwin that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 248, it recommend the same do pass. If any of those are in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 43 senators voting aye, 7 senators voting nay.
With 43 senators voting aye and 7 senators voting no, Senate Bill 248 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 16. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 16, introduced by Gross, a bill for an act entitled Act allowing minors to consent to no-cost emergency shelter and related services, clarifying the definition of minor, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 16. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 16, it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I really appreciate those of you who supported bringing this bill in front of the full body today. So this bill would allow minors to consent to no-cost emergency shelters that are offered by nonprofit service providers. Unaccompanied homeless youth, as we call them, kids who lack stable housing, who are not in the physical custody of a legal parent or guardian, are in need of measures contained in this bill. It provides basic safety measures to support efforts to keep our most vulnerable kids off the streets and out of dangerous living situations. This bill was very well vetted. Actually, it's 4 years in the making. The State Tribal Relations Interim Committee started in the 17-18 interim as we were looking at the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous people. And at the end of when that study concluded, the Department of Justice recommended that we continue to look at this issue of homeless and runaway youth, who many are reported missing more than one time. So we did that over the past interim. We got a lot of great information about what other states are doing, and this is one of the strongest policy proposals that we could bring to assist in this epidemic we have right now of kids without a place to stay. Let's see. So at the hearing, we had no opponents. I asked that this bill come to the full Senate because in committee, the concerns that were raised, and I believe the reason that the bill was tabled, those concerns are actually covered in the bill or in current law or would negate the intent of the bill. So that's why we brought it to the full Senate, and I hope we can get your support and vote yes today. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There, I can see some good with this bill, some situations where it'll fit, but you, there's always that other side, too, that unintended consequences. This bill, Senate Bill 16, is going to allow private groups to get between parents and their kids. Think of a kid that parents took their cell phone away, tried to discipline him, they got mad because he wouldn't buy him a car, so they run away, and now they find safe harbor at one of these places, and then the parents are frantic, can't find them. If you turn to page 2 and look at lines 7 and 8, you would think that these places would contact authorities right away to find out if the minor is missing. It says, if a provider receives, remember if a provider receives information indicating a consenting minor was reported missing by a legal guardian other than the department, the provider shall contact law enforcement. There's a lot of days that could go by before that ever happens. I think what this bill needs is an amendment that anybody that comes to the door, they at least check to find out if they're missing persons. And we've had a lot of the missing and indigenous person bills go through. It needs to be amended to make it better.
Senator Small.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, I was going to comment on this bill just along the lines of actual missing persons cases. To qualify it. So between 2017 and 2019, the DOJ did a missing persons compilation report, and what they found was 3,277 people were missing reported. Well, you know, that's a pretty startling number, and the fact that 81% of them were 18 and under, that's also a startling number. And another reasonably startling fact that hits pretty close home to me is that 40% of them were the native kids. And then to break it down even further, Bighorn County, where I live, we have almost double the per capita missing persons rate as the rest of the state. So, you know, if we swing back and we look at that 3,277, 97.7% of these people are found, they are located. But unfortunately, that leaves 3.3% of these people not found, not safe, nobody knows where they're at, and I would frankly assume probably the worst possible in that scenario. This little bill we have right here, you know, one of the groups that's in opposition of it, unfortunately, is one I tend to agree with about 95% of the time, and you know, this is the thing. We got 3.3%. These people aren't showing back up. What we saw two springs ago, right after session, right there in Bighorn County, just north of Hardin, we had a young lady that wandered off and, you know, was exposed to the elements and perished. And that's my greatest concern. I mean, 2 weeks ago, if you'd have had a runaway youth, a kid, somebody missing, abducted, whatever, whatnot, what have you, without shelter of some form, over the course of the evening, they weren't going to make it. 20 below zero. Nobody can live through that in Montana, especially if you're not prepared and you're staying out all night without some form of shelter. They're just like everything we tend to do. I mean, there's always a catch. There's a catch 22 to everything. And as a group, we got to figure out whether or not, you know, that's acceptable. I mean, maybe we have a small issue. Maybe it never becomes an issue. They do eventually get reported. And during the meanwhile, there's 3.3% of these missing kids that we could possibly be saving, and they show back up. Thank you.
Senator Ellsworth.
Question for Senator Margeau.
Will Senator Margeau yield to a question?
Mr. Chair, I guess.
Sounds confident.
Senator Margeau, you're an attorney, and I just want a legal opinion here. Do you have the bill in front of you? Because I'm trying to understand this on page 2, and we're going to go to line 7. If a provider receives information indicating a consenting minor was reported missing by a legal guardian other than the department, the provider shall contact law enforcement. So the way I'm reading this is, even if Public Health and Human Services have reported them missing, that wouldn't work. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator, if a provider receives information indicating a consenting minor was reported missing by a legal guardian other than the department, the provider shall contact law enforcement. So it, to me, it just seems pretty self-explanatory that if a provider receives that information indicating a consenting minor was reported missing by a legal guardian, other than that department, they just simply contact law enforcement.
But
through the chair, Senator, please.
Mr. Chair, follow up. So if Public Health and Human Services was the one they were notified, then they couldn't do that because it says other than them. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I see what you're saying. If it's saying if the department finds out about it, but it's other than the department, right, is what you're getting at. But I think what I'm reading from this is, and I guess we could also ask the sponsor if I could redirect to clarify that section as well. But what I'm seeing in this section is if a provider receives the information indicating a consenting minor is reported missing, so if they got a provider got information from a legal guardian that the person was missing, I don't necessarily think that means it's the department as well. The provider seems to be something separate from a department. So I think that, to me, would make sense.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill.
Please.
Mr. Chair, I'm reading this in plain English. I'm not an attorney, and I'm happy the senator did get up, but it clearly says other than the department. So they would have to receive information from a legal guardian and not the department. So if the department knows the child is missing, they can't do anything. The legal guardian then would have to call all of these places and see if their child's there. And Department of Health and Human Services, even if they knew, the provider would not have to notify them. So, that's just there. Simple English. If we go back into this and, I've had my kids. I've raised two children. My third one is 17. And they have threatened to run away many times because I have taken their cell phone or I've taken their vehicle or what have you. And I understand where this bill could be important for some instances. My concern is the parent not knowing, not being able to know. And it says in here, too, that if the provider believes that there could be harm to the child. So one of my sons called the police on me because I destroyed his Xbox. And he thought that wasn't allowed by law. The officer came to my house, laughed at him, and left. But, kids just take things out of context sometimes. And my concern with this bill, and I understand its good intentions, is there's a lot of ambiguity in here. And as a parent, I certainly would not want to be put in the situation of a child being missing and not being able to solve that issue. So I'm going to strongly oppose this, Mr. Chair.
Senator Molnar.
Mr. Chairman, my apologies for getting up twice in one day. But this is an extremely important bill, and frankly, we're not talking about the same kid. With all due respect to Senator Regeer and our esteemed pro tem, when a kid runs away because his cell phone was taken away, boyfriend or girlfriend was banned, car was taken away for a week. Ask any cop. They're at their friend's house living in the basement if their parents won't let them stay there. They are not sleeping under a park bench in the rain because their cell phone got taken away. These kids, if this is addressed, are not kids that went home to see if they could have their cell phone back. These are kids that have been living in dangerous situations, possibly for weeks, that want safe harbor. And I'm not even talking a warm place at night. I'm talking safe harbor. And they didn't go home. To say that you must find a way for the parents to find where they were is wonderful. I think it should be amended in. I think that it takes about 1 minute for tumbleweed to figure out where they came from. But however this is amended, we must address the kid that's intended in this, which is the kid seeking safe harbor. They're running away from a pimp. They're running away from somebody that they sold drugs for, but don't have the money now, and their life is threatened, and they want a chance to get out of the streets. That's what this bill is for. It's not the kid you know. It's not the kid you raised. But it's the kid you know is out there and needs this. Please vote yes.
Senator Konar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to point out to the body, if you go back to page one and look at the final line of that page, and that paragraph, that is the paragraph that talks about a provider not knowing what the situation is and still providing assistance. In that paragraph, they talk about trying to notify the legal guardian, attempting to notify them and get a hold of custodians of these children. And it essentially lays out that they are responsible to try to attempt to do that. If they can't do it, then they can provide shelter in that case and then continue that work. Lines 6 through 8 are really about notification. If the provider receives information, you have to read the first sentence first and then the second sentence. The first sentence says, if the provider receives information indicating a consenting minor is missing from foster care, the department will be notified. That's just a notification to the department because the child is missing from foster care. The second sentence then says, if it's reported missing by a legal guardian, then you notify law enforcement. That whole section is just about notification. It has nothing to do with, you know, what the good senator in the back row was talking about. You really have to look at that whole section together. But the paragraph before that is really the obligation of the provider of this safe harbor. And they will, under this legislation, be required to attempt to notify legal guardians in whatever form that is, foster care, legal guardians, folks in the community that need to know that this child is safe. But it does allow for them to seek the safe harbor, receive safe harbor, and then allows for the rest of it to play out. So I hope for a due pass on this. This is good legislation that will help children.
Senator Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think a lot of us grew up in a pretty privileged home. Very small town, agricultural town. My dad was a banker. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I grew up, you know, just not really understanding what was out there in the world. As I grew older, one of my first jobs was I worked in a nonprofit organization with chemical dependency treatment, and I ran group homes. And I've told a few of this story, and it really changed my life because I didn't have any idea what was out there and what, you know, the shoes that these folks walked in as they were younger. And I'm going to try to tell the story about one gal that really drove this home. Her name was Mary, and Mary had been in treatment like 7 times. Bunch of kids, you know, one of those folks you'd go, you know, that we sometimes rail against. But, you know, Mary is one of those people that when she was clean, she was great. You know, she laughed. She was one that you just really wanted to see survive, to make it. Well, 7 times in treatment in my group home, and sure enough, right towards the end, she relapses, as she's done many times before. And I learned not to learn the backstory of folks. I wanted to take people at face value. But you know, Mary, excuse me, it's a hard story to tell. So Mary and her dad used to go to the Barrel Cafe in Great Falls every Saturday morning. She put on her best dress, she'd get pancakes, and that was the one time with her dad that she really appreciated, to a point. Because after pancakes, dad would take her out to his truck and sell her to his friends every Saturday morning for 8 years, between the ages of 4 and 12. Mary needed a safe harbor. These are the kids that we can save, that we can keep from treatment, that we can keep from the pain, if they have that. We're not talking about kids that lost their cell phone. We're talking about kids in danger that will never recuperate from that pain. Give them the safe harbor.
Senator Margiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the body. It's tough to follow up on that, and I just wanted to follow up on the question I got from the good senator in seat 47. I guess that's what I get for being one of the two attorneys, or three attorneys, I guess, in this room. By the way, I don't tell people that. So anyways, I just want to say that, you know, looking back through that section on page 2, line 6 and 7, if you actually read that line, the provider and the department, they are completely separate, and they're defined separately in the bill. Department is defined on page 2, line 20, means the Department of Public Health and Human Services. And provider is defined on page 3, line 8, which means a nonprofit entity or host home program that provides no-cost emergency shelter and related services to minors in need of shelter. And then there's additional information there. So if you read that line, it does make sense. If the provider, that nonprofit or that shelter, gets that information, and they're not the department, they're not the Department of Health and Human Services that got that information, they have to report, they have to provide that information to contact law enforcement. So I think it is pretty spelled out quite well on the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess I have to beat the good senator from Laurel about how many times I stayed up today, apparently. I'm on the committee, and one of the biggest issues I had was what the good senator from Laurel was talking about. Is I'm not the people I was referring to was not the child that lost their cell phone or had their Xbox broken. I was talking about the children that don't have anybody looking after them. And in committee, one of the issues I had, and it seems to be the contentious area between line six and eight on page 2, was the if part. Fortunate enough, I've had to grow up with a handful of attorneys, and they always tell me words have meaning, and commas and asterisks and all that stuff have meaning. The issue I had with it was the if part. If the provider is aware. If the provider is aware. The reason why I'm making a big issue about that is because I'm not looking at the good actors. I'm looking at the bad actors in these scenarios. What if there is a group that starts up that literally makes one of these shelters turn it into a funneling system for sex trafficking? All I asked for was them to notify when there is a child under the age of 18 that comes into their custody to let the law enforcement know. Just to let them be aware that this particular child is in their custody. In the event somebody is not quite yet looking for them, maybe parents are out of town and this child is what it is. The issue was I wanted to make sure law enforcement at least was aware of this child being in their custody. And the reason I say that is because if no one's looking for this child, because we're talking about the child he was referencing to, isn't it not a possibility that they could just shuffle him right out the back door and turn him into a sex trafficked child? That's the issue I had with this bill. That's the reason why I voted no on this bill, is because the if part of this bill gives the discretion of the bad actors, not the good actors, but the bad actors, to go, well, if no one's looking for them, then no one's going to know. And that's the reason why I voted against this. And again, I will be a no vote on this as well. Again, I say this bill is good, but I wanted to clean up the if part because I wanted to make sure somebody knew that this kid was there so that there was not a possibility for someone that could just shuffle him out the back and then all of a sudden we're hearing about the meaningless statistic of sex trafficking. Thank you.
Senator Manzella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was a no on this bill in committee as well for many of the same reasons that Senator Friedel just highlighted. This puts a tremendous amount of responsibility and liability on the shelter, and there's no fiscal note associated with it. So who's paying for it? Where is the money and the funding going to come from for all of these long list of services that's provided for in this bill? And then we get back to, if there's not a steady funding source, then we refer back to Senator Friedel's if part. What happens if they're not funded properly?
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Gross, would you like to close? Oh, didn't see you got a punch in there. Senator Fox.
Excuse me, my light is lit up and one of the pages came back, so I usually get my wires crossed, but I didn't do this one. So, anyway, Mr. Chairman, committee, hope you support the bill. I worked for about 20 years in tribal law enforcement. Thankfully, 10 of it was in wildlife law enforcement, but I was also chief of police there, and we've seen some situations where this bill, would have helped a lot. For some youth in crisis, this may be just another avenue out of a bad situation, but it also may mean their survival. So I urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Gross, would you care to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a couple concerns to speak to. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to speak passionately on this bill. I do want to address a couple of the concerns that have not been answered yet. So first on law enforcement requirement, the good senator from Billings in the back row raised some issues around if, but I wanna make sure everyone knows, because the good senator did use the word custody. Youth shelters are not jails. These children are not in custody. There was a concern raised about someone setting up a human trafficking ring under the guise of a youth shelter. Shelters don't work that way. I have to say also that we heard strong testimony from providers that of these services that the more, if you add additional law enforcement requirement notifications to what we're trying to do here, that's actually a huge deterrent for a lot of the kids who need to get in these shelters, because many of them have had previous encounter with law enforcement, either in an abusive home or maybe have already been in trouble with the juvenile justice system, but that doesn't mean that they don't deserve to have a safe place to be. We've done a lot of work to get folks back on their feet after they come out of, an institutional setting. And we're talking about kids here, so let's make sure they're safe. To the issue of liability and who's paying for all of this, we're talking about nonprofit private service providers. So that's who pays for this. Any provider is going to have to cover their own liability. That's not a concern in this bill. I think many of the senators who spoke in support of the bill covered most of the other concerns, so I want to thank you. My last comment is that I mentioned in my open that there were no opponents at this bill hearing. The good senator from Busby mentioned a group that was opposed to this bill. I'm not aware of who that group was, and I'm not sure why they didn't come to speak in person against this bill. Whatever that reason was, I think the fact that they didn't says a lot about the bill. This is a really good bill. We've talked a lot about helping kids. This is one bill that I know for sure will help a lot of kids, and I hope we can support it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Gross that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 16, I recommend the same do pass. Any of those are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Senator Pope, Senator Cuff. Senator Pope, he's a yes, got his thumb
up. Senator Pope has his thumbs up, Mr. Chair.
Clerk, record the vote. Senator Cuff. He's absent. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, with Senator Ankeny voting by proxy voting nay, we have 31 senators voting aye, 18 senators voting nay.
With 31 senators voting aye and 17 senators voting no, Senate Bill 16 has passed second reading. Mr. President, could you retake the chair? I need to present my bill.
Members of the Senate, you'll now be in order. Members, you now have before you for your consideration. Wait, where is it?
It's at the very top of the board.
Oh, that's why. Senate Joint Resolution 9. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SJR 9, introduced by Hertz and others, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana reaffirming the friendship between the State of Montana and Taiwan, welcoming bilateral trade agreement talks, and supporting Taiwan's meaningful participation in international organizations.
Are there any corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. President.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1.
Members of the committee, now before you for your consideration, Senate Joint Resolution 9. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution Number 9, I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a joint resolution recognizing our 36-year relationship with Taiwan. Taiwan's our 11th largest trading partner in the United States in 2018. And it remains the seventh largest export for agricultural products, including it's the sixth largest export for U.S. beef. Recently, the Taiwan president removed some restrictions that will allow even more U.S. beef to enter their country. They're Montana's sixth largest export market with about $58 million in value. Taiwan's been a great help through the COVID emergency. They donated nearly 20 million surgical masks all across the world. 40,000 of those went to state of Montana. The fine senator from Bighorn County had a resolution about carbon capture. Taiwan is doing significant research in that area. 25% of their energy is being converted to coal. This letter does have instructions as to where to send it, so with its chair, I would encourage you to pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. President.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Osmundson.
Mr. President, I just want to say I think this is a very important resolution. As an ag producer myself, Taiwan is extremely important to the largest industry in this state. I would probably go a step further and say I would hope that this administration and at some point Montana can reestablish our Montana Trade Center there in Taiwan. I think that was important. It's important to the Taiwanese people and it's important to Montana. So, again, it's a great bill.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Kerry closed. Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having it under consideration, Senate Joint Resolution 9, it recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor, signify by voting no. Aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish changes or vote? Clerk will record the vote.
With Senator Ankeny voting aye by proxy, we have 49 senators voting aye and 0 senators voting nay.
48 senators haven't voted aye, or 49 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 9 has passed second reading. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the committee rise and report.
Heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, our Secretary report as follows. Senate Bill 16, 192, 230, 247, 248, 249, 258, 265, 266, Senate Joint Resolutions 6, 9, and 10 have passed. Senate Bill 260 passed as amended. Senate Resolution 75 adopted.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the committee report.
For the motion of Senator Hertz that the committee of the whole report be adopted, as many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no, as every member voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, sir, Senator Hertz. Order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 133, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Property Tax Appraisal and Tax Appeal Process.
Senate Bill 133, have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Molnar? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 13 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, and 13 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 133 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 240, introduced by Manzella, a bill for an act entitled Revised Crime Reporting Laws.
Senate Bill 240, haven't been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, Senator Ankeny voting yes, the vote is 30 to 19.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. Or 31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 240 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 286, introduced by Heinbaugh, a bill for an act entitled prohibits certain prescriptive easements in a platted subdivision.
Senate Bill 286, haven't been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Hoven.
50 senators have voted yes, 0 senators have voted no. Is Senator Ankeny voting yes?
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 286 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 8, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Resolution Supporting KEEP 9 Amendment to U.S. Constitution.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no. Senator Ankeny has voted yes.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 8 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 136, introduced by Sheldon Galloway, a bill for an act entitled Established Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act.
House Bill 136, have been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no, with Senator Ankeny voting yes.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 136 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 140, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled requiring the provision of information before the performance of an abortion.
House Bill 140, haven't been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no, with Senator Ankeny voting yes.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill or House Bill 140 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 167, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Referendum to Adopt the Montana Born Alive Infant Protection Act.
House Bill 167, haven't been read through several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no, with Senator Ankeny voting yes.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 167 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 171, introduced by Grief, a bill for an act entitled Adopt the Montana Abortion-Inducing Drug Risk Protocol Act.
House Bill 171, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no, with Senator Ankeny voting yes.
31 senators haven't voted aye, and 19 senators have voted no. House Bill 171 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go back to order business number two, reports from standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed to Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs. Report that Senate Bills 273, 297, and 301 do pass, and that Senate Bills 275 and 316 do pass as amended. Senator Steve Fitzpatrick, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Finance and Claims. Report that Senate Bills 100 and 159 do pass. Senator Ryan Osmondson, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Taxation. Report that Senate Bills 214 and 288 do pass. That Senate Bills 212 and 263 do pass as amended. That House Bill 303 and House Joint Resolution 5 be concurred in. Senator Brian Hovind, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go back to order business number nine, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Bill 249, Revised Funding for Montana Greater Sage-Grouse Stewardship Act. This sponsors Senator Lang. Refer it to Finance and Claims. It exceeds the agreed-upon amount.
Majority Leader Smith, I believe I can get clarification from Senator Osmondson. I believe that bill actually was reported out of Finance, so it won't have to be referred back down there.
Mr. President, that's correct.
Thank you. I withdraw that motion.
Okay. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to suspend Senate Rules 40-40, 40-60, 50-190, and Senate Joint Rule 40-50 until the 46th legislative days. These rules suspension will allow us to be more flexible in the coming days to work bills through the process for the upcoming days to transmittal.
Without objection. Without objection. So ordered. Senator Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Senate. I move to take Senate Bill 187 from the Senate Business and Labor Committee and place it on second reading tomorrow, the 42nd day, Mr. Chair.
Senator Sweeney.
Senate Bill 187 will gradually increase the minimum wage in Montana by $1 a year until 2024, when it reaches only $12, and then it will be tied to inflation. We had a good hearing in the committee with many small businesses and workers coming out to support this bill that will raise the income of Montana's lowest wage earners. In committee, we heard a lot of false claims about raising the minimum wage and how these jobs are just for entry-level positions for high school and college kids. I want to draw your attention to a fact sheet that I put on your desk. This, if you would find that, kind of explains minimum wage. The average wage of the minimum worker in the United States in Montana is 36 years old. 89% of them are over the age of 20. 30% are over the age of 40. 56% are women, and 28% of those have children, and more than half of them work at minimum wage jobs that are full-time. Studies have shown that raising the minimum wage gradually, like we do in this bill, does not eliminate jobs but or increase inflation. It gives people the dignity of doing the job well done and help keep them off public assistance. This is an important discussion we need to have on this body, on this floor. One that's about supporting low-wage workers in Montana and giving them the dignity and strengthening our economy. I ask for a green light. Thank you.
Sir Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that you resist the motion. We did have the bill in committee, as the good senator mentioned, and we did give it a thorough hearing. We debated the pros and cons of raising the minimum wage. We had a good discussion with the witnesses, and ultimately I think this is a policy choice, and I think we all know that raising minimum wage does result in job loss and ultimately causes other unintended consequences. So with that, I would ask you to resist the motion.
So no further discussion, Senator Sweeney. Would you like care to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Like many of us here, I come from a small community in Phillipsburg, and many of those are businesses there, mom and pop businesses. these businesses in the town, and the business owners testified. They called in and testified in support of raising the minimum wage. They know that putting more money into the pockets of these low-wage workers will be spent immediately in our local economies and help our economy grow. This bill is good for Montana workers, it's good for businesses, and it's good for our economy. This is an opportunity to show our appreciation for workers who have been essential in getting us through the last year. I ask the body to bring this to discussion to the floor and show these workers we have their backs. Please vote green. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, the motion before us is to remove Senate Bill 187 from the Senate Business and Labor Committee and place it on second reading the 42nd legislative day. Those in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 20 have voted yes, 29 have voted no.
20 senators haven't voted aye, and 29 senators haven't voted no. The motion fails. Seeing no further motions, we'll go to business number 10, unfinished business.
Mr. President, I move the following undersigned names be added as sponsors to Senate Bill 328, signed Senator Ankeny.
Without objection, we'll go to business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow, 9 o'clock or 10 minutes after the floor session is over. We have six bills to hear.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local government today, immediately after, 10 minutes after the session is over. Two bills.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Natural resources in 10 minutes. We've got five, if not six, bills to hear and quite a bit of executive action.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. State administration meet in about 10 minutes. We have 10 bills and about 20 executive actions.
Okay. Senator Osmundson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims will meet immediately after floor tomorrow.
Senator Howard.
Yes, Mr. President, Senate Public Health, we have five bills and seven executive actions. Get there as quick as you can.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education, in about 10 minutes, we have a couple of bills to hear.
Seeing no further announcements, members, just a couple items. I apologize to the good chairman of Judiciary. It'll be a little bit longer board probably tomorrow. But I wanted to make sure that we wrap up some work, but then also give the flexibility for the committee that needs to meet tomorrow not to be under any kind of a time crunch to end any of the hearings and have the us come back to the floor so that other members can go about their day. So with that, I apologize to the good chairman, but we'll try to wrap it up as quickly as we can tomorrow. Also hoping that with the next couple days being pretty busy, we may go to third reading before second reading. If everybody's logged on and everybody's ready to vote, just to wrap that up before we go into second reading on today and tomorrow. And I also had another announcement from Legislative Services. For those members that qualified and had their first dose of the vaccine earlier this month, the scheduled day is March 3rd. I know that may be difficult with some if we wrap up early, but they felt that was the best, that was the soonest they could do it and still fall within transmittal. So those members that were eligible for their second dose, that the clinic will be open from 8 to 2 that day. You can set up an appointment or I believe they're allowing walk-ins too, to make sure you work down to legislative staff if you have any questions on that. Senator Molnar.
Mr. President, I was informed that I was a yes vote on 187, the minimum wage bill, and that would put me in a totally different tax bracket. I couldn't take the hit, so $5, but I'm a no.
We'll go back to order business number nine for Senator Molnar. Without objection, so ordered. We'll add inflation onto that too, Senator Molnar. Any other announcements? Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 8 a.m., February 27th, the 42nd legislative day.
For the motion, Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Senate will reconvene on February 27th at 8 a.m.